praise Him.
Good morning, everybody. Sorry, good observation there, Ralph, about
Hymn 13, stanza 3, crowned with many crowns. We want to be very cautious, and as we sing songs, and we look at the doctrine of the song, and so we should put an X on stanza 3, if not the whole number 13, but definitely stanza 3, so we don't sing it by mistake. Since we make that observation, when we see something wrong, we don't want to keep on repeating the same mistake. Had a teacher one time who said it's just as wrong to sing heresy as it is to teach heresy. So we want to be careful of the hymns that we sing. So last time I was here, we were discussing the Gospel of John, and I think we left off with verse 15. So and we also were reading through it. So I think we got through like three aisles of reading, and so let me see. So starting back at the fourth aisle, which would be Anna, please read verse 15, and then Tammy, verse 16. John chapter 1, John chapter 1, yes.
Do you see my face that comes after me, occurs before me, and he goes?
All right, Tammy, verse 16.
And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace.
And going to verse 17, please.
For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
Verse 18.
No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him.
Thank you. Now, noticing this is John, this is referring, having reference to John the Apostle, who is painting this. And we notice here that John bear witness of him in Christ. This is John the Baptist. This is John the Baptist, the one that is doing the crying. And in the scripture says, he was of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Having reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the central figure of the scripture. Is the central figure of the scripture. And we see, and of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. There is nothing more, nothing less than we need than the Lord Jesus Christ. We need nothing else, nothing more, in all his fullness. Think of the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. How full is the Lord Jesus Christ? He's infinitely full. In all his fullness, we have received in grace for grace. And it says in verse 17, and the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. When we contrast law and grace, it's a tremendous contrast. The law that we received by the hand of Moses at Mount Sinai, that law cannot be lived up to. It cannot be lived up to. When he received the law, when he put the law down, that law, we cannot live up to that law. But it's the scripture says, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. When we contrast grace, they're completely different. Grace is receiving something that we do not deserve. Law, we can try and keep the law all day long, all night long, and we will still fail. We will not be successful. No man, no woman, no child can be successful at keeping the law. The law came by Moses. We know who Moses is. Someone remind me who Moses is. Moses, a prophet. What else do we know about Moses? Okay, that's right. His life was divided up into three sections, right? Three sections of 40. 40 years. He was raised as the son of his Pharaoh's daughter. He was raised by Pharaoh's daughter. The next 40 years he spent in Midian. And the next 40 years in his life, he spent leading the children of Israel around in the wilderness. And shortly after the children of Israel departed out of Egypt, on Mount Sinai, God delivered them miraculously out of Egypt. Over 400 years, they were in Egypt. They came in with 70-some people, and they went out with probably over close to 2 million, if not over 2 million people. 600,000 men, besides women and children, came out of the land of Egypt. And the law was given by Moses. God used Moses to be a receiver of the law. God wrote those Ten Commandments down with his own finger and gave them to Moses. And then Moses came down to an imperfect people to see the imperfect people turn their back on God to deliver them out of the water, out of the land of Egypt, just a few days before by raising up a golden calf and claiming that that golden calf was the God or the gods that brought them out of the land of Egypt. Under the leadership of the older brother of Moses, Aaron. The law was given by Moses. The law could not deliver man. All the law does is show that man needs a Savior. The law was given by Moses, but it's the scripture says here in verse 17, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth. Later on in the book of John, the Lord Jesus Christ tells Doubting Thomas, he says in John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the only way to the Father. And there are people today that try to establish their own righteousness and get to the Father by keeping the law, by doing works. And we know the scripture says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done. But it's according to God's mercy, according to his mercy. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And if somebody is here today, or somebody is listening to this at a later date, you have to understand that how one must be a believer. How one must be saved. The law came by Moses. Moses was a mere man. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God. He was the God-man. Now, verse 18. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. The only begotten Son, this is again referencing to the Lord Jesus Christ. He hath declared him. When the Lord Jesus Christ became flesh, he came to this earth, he humbled himself, he took upon the form of God, he voluntarily surrendered his attributes, and he became clothed in human flesh. He grew to age 30 or thereabouts and began his earthly ministry. And everything that he did was to declare the fact that God, who God was, and he declared him. Because he was in the bosom of the Father, he had declared him. Now let's, any thoughts on these four verses? Verses 15, 16, 17, or 18. Any additional thoughts or observations anyone has about those? Kathy, would you start, please, read verse 18? 18? Let me see. 19, I'm sorry, 19. Thank you.
And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?"
Carl, 19.
And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ."
And they asked him, "What then, art thou Elias?" And he said, "I am not. Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No."
So the scripture says, and this is the record of John. Again, this is referencing to John the Baptist. This is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" You see, the priests and the Levites, Pharisee describes the people in the Sanhedrin, the people that were in religious authority, the religious leaders, they wanted to know something about who John the Baptist was and what he was talking about. They wanted to understand something about him because he was saying something that was slightly different from what they had been teaching and from what they had been saying before, from what they were believing and what they were teaching. And so it says this is the record. Now, when we think of a record, in a sense of what is it like a record, would we say, in this kind of context of this verse?
An account.
That's good. An account or witness. That's good. Account. It's the account. It's the record. This is what's being written down. This is the account. This is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" Now, we have here Jews, and we have here priests. Now, what is a characteristic of a priest? What's something that's characteristic about a priest? What qualifies somebody, or what's a necessary element for someone to be a priest?
Tribe of Levi?
That's right, tribe of Levi, that's right, they had to be from the tribe of Levi. And so, to back up a little bit further, Sam, you ever thought about that?
Well, they had to be of a certain age, too.
Had to be a certain age, that's right, certain age, tribe of Levi. As long as we talk about tribe of Levi, just so how many tribes were there, would you say?
12
tribes. 12 tribes. And from where did these 12 tribes come?
Jacob.
Jacob, that's right. Jacob, the 12 sons. The 12 sons of Jacob. So we have here the priests who were from the tribe of Levi and the Jews. They wanted to know exactly What was going on with John the Baptist here? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." So they were thinking perhaps that he was the anointed one, the Messiah. But he says, "No, I'm not." And then they asked him another question here, verse 21. And they said, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he said, "I am not." And another question they asked, "Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." And so they're really trying to figure out who John the Baptist is. And we will see that in a little bit that he's just a forerunner. He's the witness. He's the one that's coming beforehand. He's the one that's coming ahead. Let's read some more verses here. What verse are we on here?
23.
Go ahead, pick up verse 23 there. 22.
Then said they unto him, "Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself?"
He said, "I am the voice on the cross of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as said the prophet Elias." It says.
And they which were sent were of the Pharisees.
All right, so then he says here in this verse, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And so he's the voice of one that's crying in the wilderness. He had his ministry there in the wilderness, and sometimes when the wilderness, not many people are hearing you, but people did come to hear what he was saying. When John was in the wilderness, the people came out and they listened, because what he was saying was very, very important. He was the voice that was crying in the wilderness. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. Where we know, of course, we know that the Pharisees are part of the Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin is comprised of what two groups of people, would you say? What two groups are on the Sanhedrin? What two?
Pharisees and Sadducees.
And the big characteristic of the Sadducees, what do they deny? They deny the resurrection. And so what hope do they have? They have no hope. People today, there are people today that deny the resurrection of the body. What hope do they have? They have no hope. They do not want to accept the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is God, and he is the one that can give them eternal life if they would turn to him for salvation. And so we see here, they were some of the Pharisees. And Chris, go ahead and read verse 25, please.
And they asked him, why baptize thou then, that thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet?
John answered them and said, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not.
Verse 27.
He is who coming after me is preferred before me. Who shall latch? I am not worthy to unloose it.
You want to read verse 28, Sam? Always be here.
These things were done in Beth Abra, beyond Jordan, where John was baptized.
Thank you. All right, so now, as a point of observation here, going back to verse 24 for a moment, the Gnostic text, which modern Bibles are based upon, they delete the word they in verse 24. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. I'll just mention that there is a point of in passing here. And then the question that's being asked here is, why baptizest thou them? Now, when we think of baptism, now there's different types of baptism. John's baptism, John the Baptist, was a baptism of repentance. But when we think of baptism, it's a way you're identifying with something. You know, in the instance of believer's baptism, one identifies with Lord Jesus Christ. It's a physical representation of what's happened spiritually. In other words, you identify with Lord Jesus Christ a single time. Baptism, believer's baptism, is for born again Christians. And not for someone that's not born again. It's for born again Christians. Now, that's believer's baptism. The baptism that's being discussed here is the baptism of repentance. It's still the baptism that we're familiar with, but in John's day, it was a baptism of repentance. So they're asking him the question. These, again, are the Pharisees. And says, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not the Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? Now, this is the answer that John the Baptist gave. He said, I baptize with water, but, this is the adversative conjunction, incidentally, this adversative conjunction, but, This is also deleted from the Gnostic text. But there standeth one among you whom ye know not. And so if you understand what John the Baptist is saying, is there's a bunch of people, a crowd of people that are there, including this group that's coming from the Pharisees, that's asking and confronting John this question. And he says, there's one that stands among you, among that very crowd they're in. So likely it's the Lord Jesus Christ is there among them, listening to this dialogue that the Pharisees are having with John the Baptist. And he says, whom ye know not. The only way that somebody can have salvation is by knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. All the Pharisees who refused to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, they perished. They died, they perished, they went to hell, and they're there today. Now there were some Pharisees, some people who were part of the group of Pharisees, like the Nicodemus, likely Joseph of Arimathea, and perhaps others who are unnamed that we do not know about, who did accept the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ was a Savior and they knew Him. Today, people either can accept the fact that Christ is the Savior of the world, or they can reject the fact that Christ is the Savior of the world. People, again, as I said earlier, they always want to do things their way, many times, and not God's way. Sadly, sometimes even born-again Christians want to do things their way at first rather than God's way. It's always best to do things God's way and not our own way. We read in the Scripture of a certain way of doing things, we must do it God's way. We may not know for a while until we come confronted with the Word of God that we're doing something that's wrong, something that's not proper. But we must do things God's way and not the way of the world. And so in this verse, John tells the Pharisees, there's one that stands among you whom ye know not. And then he says, he it is. Let me pause there for a moment. Do you know that the Gnostic critical text on which many modern Bibles are based, or most modern Bibles are based, delete this word, who he it is? He it is who coming after me, and again, here's another deletion, is preferred before me. So that phrase is before me is deleted as well. He it is who cometh before me is preferred. He it is who cometh after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchets I am unworthy to unloose. Now, last month, when we were discussing this book, this chapter, we noted that John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus Christ were second cousins. Initially, I think I used the word cousins, but actually, technically, they're second cousins because their mothers, John the Baptist's mother and the Lord Jesus Christ's mother, were cousins, first cousins, so that makes them second cousins. And we know that John the Baptist was slightly older, 6 months or so older than the Lord Jesus Christ. But in this verse, we're told, he it is who cometh after me is preferred before me. Of course, Lord Jesus Christ should be preferred before anybody. And then he continues on and says, whose shoe latchets I am unworthy to unloose. That's in other words, he's not even worthy to loosen his shoes, untie the shoes or unlatch the shoes, depending on how they're all connected together. He is identifying the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is not an ordinary person. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. So now let's... any thoughts on these verses we've talked about so far?
I have a question.
Yes, Sam.
I'm curious about verse 25.
Okay.
Where they They said unto John, he said, nor Elias, neither that prophet. So who are they referring to when they say neither that prophet? Is that back to Isaiah in verse 23? Who is Elias? Is that Elijah?
Yes, Elijah.
I know the New Testament spell.
And yes, and we have Isaiah, that's right. So as far as the prophet is concerned, I'm not certain as far as the prophet they're referencing to. They're referencing to probably in the book of in the book of Malachi. We turn back there for a moment, which is right before the book of Matthew. Malachi chapter 3, in verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom he seeks shall suddenly come in his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom he delighted in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. So we have here a promise of a messenger coming, Elijah. And then later on, we see later on in Malachi chapter 4, in verse 5, behold, I will send Elijah the prophet before you, brother, before the coming of the Lord, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And so we have here, they're wondering, as far as the specific prophet they were talking about, I'm not sure which prophet they were having in mind, Sam. Tammy, what's your thought? Deuteronomy 18:15. That's okay, let's turn there.
It references a prophet.
Deuteronomy 18 and verse 15.
And it's capitalized.
Okay. 18:15. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. Okay, so it's a prophet, so it's going to be perhaps reference to the Messiah here in the book of Deuteronomy, I would think. Sam, you had another thought, didn't you? Another question? Well, there's the baptism of repentance, and there's sometimes in the dedication of different elements of the temple tabernacle, they would be cleansed in certain ways. And thanks for that. Thank you for observing the fact that these were people that were sent from the Pharisees. They were not the Pharisees themselves. Yes, Mrs. Yarno.
Was there a baptism of proselytes in the Old Testament?
People who are not Jews but wanted to become Jews.
Okay. Yes. I don't know if there were or not. It's possible it could have been. But that's a big question as far as this baptism is concerned. As far as the different types of baptism. And this baptism that John was doing was a baptism of repentance. As far as the proselyte, someone that was a Gentile, like. That wants to become a Jew, there were certain rites and rituals they went through to become that. But the question is: are they're thinking they're observing this baptism that John the Baptist is doing, and they're trying to wonder what it's all about? And your question, Sam, is a good question as far as what types of baptism were in existence in the Old Testament. We'll have to look at that a little further and see what we can figure out. Maybe if there's another time. Sam, then Chris.
Okay. Well, with the Pharisees, we know that they were always worried about losing their position, I believe.
They were.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was one of the reasons they opposed Christ, because he had some followers.
Mm-hmm.
And the baptism, I suppose, would signify to them a new beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would probably be very curious about this, to see what kind of new thing was being brought into play here with these baptisms.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. And one,
if it was, you know, if there was a baptism of proselytes from Gentile into Jew, you mm-hmm. see that there would be a new beginning for those people.
Right.
But they would be coming into mm-hmm. Jewish religion.
Right. It would be.
So I could see where they, a lot of times the Pharisees had an ulterior motive, which wasn't always good.
No, that's right. That's right. It was always good, and they were basing things on works quite often, on outward appearance. Yeah. Chris had a thought.
The baptism that John was doing was unto a coming king. It was mm-hmm. declared to Israel, your king is at hand.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And your king is here, is verse 31.
Okay.
Would you like to read that?
Please read it, yes.
And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore, am I come baptizing with water. It was Elijah that would be, that they were to expect. Mm-hmm. John the Baptist was a forerunner
right.
of Christ.
Mm-hmm. He was coming, he was the forerunner of Christ. So this baptism was to be being able to be identified with, it was the baptism of the repentance, and going back to this, and it is Chris just read in verse 31. That's why he's coming to baptize. And these are done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. Okay, let's read verse. The service starts a quarter of, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, so we have maybe another few minutes here. Five more minutes maybe. Ms. Boy, go ahead and read verse 29, please.
The next day, John said to Jesus, "Come unto him," and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world.
Cheryl, verse 3, please.
This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me.
And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptized into water.
And John the Baptist, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him.
And I knew him not, but he had sent me to baptize with water, the same. And it said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same, and he baptized with the Holy Ghost.
And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God.
Okay, let's talk about these few verses here. Thank you for reading. So we see here, the next day, this is after we have the, this next day after this, next day John here, and what do you think the Gnostic text did with this name John here? They deleted it in verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now, in the Old Testament system, what was the significance of a lamb? Had to be without blemish. What were some of the things we know about the lamb?
Sacrificial animal.
A sacrificial animal. So here, John the Baptist, He is saying, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now, those sacrificial animals in the Old Testament, it could cover. It would just cover. And it had to be completely, they had to be repeated daily. But the sacrifice of the Lamb of God was a one-time event, a one-time sacrifice. And John the Baptist is saying, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ is that perfect Lamb of God. And the world doesn't like to think they have sin. The world doesn't want to believe that they have sin. But they do have sin. We have friends, we have relatives, people we care about, people we don't even know that are passing us by, people all over the world. Every single person, man, woman, and child, has sin. They have the sin of Adam. And only the people that have put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ can appropriate the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And John the Baptist is correctly identifying the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. There's nothing else that can take away the sin of the world except the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done for us upon the cross of Calvary. He died on the cross. He was put in the grave for 3 days and 3 nights, 72 hours. And He rose again and is now seated at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. And John the Baptist correctly identified Him as the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And we looked at a few verses today. And so what are some of your thoughts anyone has in these? Any more thoughts anyone has in these verses we looked at?
This goes back to what we're talking about in John 1, where it talks about that the law came by Moses, but grace and truth mm-hmm. came by Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Because He's the sacrificial, perfect Lamb of God. Mm-hmm. He was going to die once for all for the sins
right.
of the world.
That's
and
right.
Because mm-hmm. of that, man, all will be saved and have eternity with Christ mm-hmm. and heaven with God and the Lord.
That's right. Apart from the Lamb of God coming, we would still be under the law of Moses. We'd still be under that system. But we're free. That's right. More thoughts or observations or comments anyone has? Sam?
Well, back in Isaiah chapter 53, the reference is made to a lamb. And verses preceding that in chapter 53 talk about the coming of the Lord. The Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. So the prophecy of Jesus coming
yes.
to save us from our sin, mm-hmm. to be the sacrificial lamb, and even compares Him to as a sheep before her shearer is dumb, so He opened not His mouth.
Yes, a perfect illustration of a lamb
yeah.
in Isaiah 53.
Right.
That's right.
Not an aggressive animal or mm-hmm. anything like that.
And, that's right.
You know, that's the way the Lord was. He didn't come to destroy, He came to save.
That's right, He did. He did. Amen. More thoughts or comments about this? These passages? Ralph?
We already saw this a little bit in the passing, but verse 30. This is He of whom I said, after Me cometh a man which is preferred before Me. We saw that before.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But then He goes a step further, for He was before Me.
That's right.
Emphasizing the deity of Christ.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Good observation. He was before Me.
And we already noted that John, from a human perspective, was 6 months approximately older mm-hmm. than Jesus was.
Yes.
But yet we see here, He existed before John.
Yes. That's right. That's right. Any more thoughts or comments we have? If not, let's close with a word of prayer. Father, we do thank Thee that Thou dost care for us, Thou dost love us. I sent Thy only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to this earth to die for us on the cross of Calvary. I want to thank You for the perfect Lamb of God, who made the perfect sacrifice, has taken away the sin of the world. We do ask that would allow us to have an open heart, continue throughout the morning service, and that will guide us into all truth, that will teach us things, and that would encourage us with the fellowship of the saints and with the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen.